Hi, this is the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wyshovsky with the 12-minute shiur number 6, Must Doctors Always Tell Patients the Truth? On the source sheet, which you can access on our website, you'll find a link to a more extensive written version of this shiur, as well as to an op-ed by Dr. Daniela Lamas that got us thinking about this topic. Dr. Lamas is a critical care physician, and she recounts an episode in which she told the truth to a dying patient and now wishes she hadn't. The patient insisted there was nothing wrong with him and loudly demanded to leave the hospital. Dr. Lamas told him the truth. You're dying. It could be hours now. I don't think you will make it through the night. The patient reacted with anger and despair, convincing the physician that she had made a grievous mistake. She writes, "Denial was my patient's only defense mechanism, and as soon as the words left my mouth, I realized how cruel it was to try to take this defense away from him in the final hours of his life." While Dr. Lamas acknowledges that in most cases the doctor's responsibility is to tell the truth, in this case, had she but told the patient that he was going to go home, an outright lie, that small kindness would have been better for him than the truth. We have here a classic conflict between two fundamental principles of bioethics. On the one hand, there's patient autonomy, the principle that dominates bioethical thought in our countries today. Autonomy emphasizes the patient's right to make all decisions regarding their health care, and responsible decision-making requires that the patient be given all information relevant to their condition. On the other hand, there's the principle of beneficence, the duty to act for the patient's benefit or good. Under this approach, the physician might decide that the patient would be better served by not being told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, or even by the physician telling the patient an outright lie. So to translate into the language of medical ethical principle, in this case, Dr. Lamas favors beneficence over patient autonomy. Traditional halakha, on the other hand, sides with beneficence pretty much all the time. The classic text comes from the so-called minor tractate Smachot on lines 3 through 20 of the source sheet. Nata lamut omrim lo hitvada. When one is approaching death, he should be told, recite the confession of sins, vidui, before you die. Many have recited the confession and did not die at that time, and many who did not recite the confession did die. Perhaps by the merit of your reciting the confession, you will recover. So in other words, we are shading the truth just a bit to give the patient a little hope. The text continues, "Do not say these things in the presence of unlearned people, children, and women." The rabbis, as usual, do not share our views about gender. That is, don't say these things in the presence of people who might cry and frighten the dying person. And if during this period a close relative of the patient should die, we do not perform kriya, the ritual cutting of his garment, lest he become despondent, literally, so as not to break his heart, shelo yishabru et libo. Nor do we cry or eulogize the dead relative in the patient's presence, lest he, that is the patient, become despondent. And all this is codified halakha in Tur and Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, Simanim 337 and 338. The concern, obviously, is pikuach nefesh, the obligation to save life, which in halachic thought is the basis of the mitzvah of refuah, the practice of medicine. This mitzvah entails that we do not hasten the death of the patient, even one who is close to death and apparently beyond hope of recovery. Rather, our task is to give them strength and hope as far as is possible, and this means that at times we are required to hide details from them, to shade the truth, and even to lie for their own good. Beneficence, in other words, wins over autonomy. Now, it's true today our views about what's best for the dying patient have become more nuanced and sensitive. Still, the point is that telling the truth, which is itself a mitzvah, in this instance takes a backseat to other values. This shouldn't surprise us because the halakha does not regard telling the truth as an absolute requirement in all cases. We see that in the following famous text from the Talmud in Bavli Ketubot, lines 25 through 43 on the source sheet. Tanu Rabbanan ketzad mirakdim lifnei hakala. The rabbis taught in a baraita what is the proper way to praise the bride when dancing in her presence at the wedding. Beit Shammai, the school of Shammai, says, Kala kamotshehi, we describe her as she is. But Beit Hillel, Omrim, the school of Hillel, says, Kala na'a v'chasuda, we say, what a lovely and graceful bride. The school of Shammai said to the school of Hillel, well, yeah, suppose she's lame or blind. Do we still say, Kala na'a v'chasuda, what a lovely and graceful bride? Doesn't the Torah tell us, Midvar Shekel Tirchak, in Exodus 23, keep far from a lying word? The school of Hillel said to the school of Shammai, well, apply your logic to the following case. Suppose a person makes a bad purchase in the marketplace. What should we do? Should we praise it to him or degrade it to him? Obviously, we ought to praise it. This is what the sages say. One should always strive to be pleasing to other people, which Rashi explains as we should tell them what they want to hear. In other words, honesty is not an absolute value, and it sure isn't always the best policy. Take a look at that second famous text from Bavli Yevamot on lines 48 through 53. Even God was willing to shade the truth, okay, was willing to lie, in order to spare Abraham the humiliation of hearing his wife's description of his, physical prowess. No wonder, then, that when we're talking about end-stage medical patients, when pikuach nefesh is obviously involved, our concern for the patient's autonomy gives way to beneficence, an obligation, our obligation, to do what is best for them. But if halakha tends to favor beneficence over autonomy, there are still some very good reasons for doctors to be truthful to patients. Dr. Shimon Glick, former dean of the Faculty of Health Sciences at Ben-Gurion University, discussed this very point in an important article published in 1988. You'll find excerpts from the article on lines 61 through 85. An observant Jew as well as a physician, Dr. Glick favors the traditional halachic principle of beneficence over that of patient autonomy. Still, he notes, in most cases we work for the patient's benefit precisely when we are truthful, when we share with them all the facts concerning their condition. Where physicians at one time refused even to say the word cancer in the presence of the patient, lest we break their hearts and deprive them of all hope, Dr. Glick writes that the situation has changed dramatically. In an age of risky and long-term, long-lasting medical treatments, we cannot expect cooperation from patients unless we provide them a true picture of the seriousness of their condition. It is difficult to provide false information to a patient, such as, hey, there's nothing seriously wrong with you, while at the same time proposing a course of treatment to them that is dangerous and that involves great suffering. In the modern Western world, scientific research and observation have established that in many cases, we are able to reduce suffering precisely by telling the truth rather than by concealing it. In such situations, it seems to me, says Dr. Glick, that our obligation is to act in such a way that benefits the patient. In other words, we ought to tell patients the truth, not on grounds of autonomy, not because it's their right to know, but on grounds of beneficence, because it's our duty to perform pikuach nefesh, to preserve the lives and health of the sick. And most often the best way to do that is to reveal rather than conceal information. Now, as progressive halachists, we can adopt Dr. Glick's perspective with a slight but significant adjustment. He doesn't think much of autonomy as a principle. We progressives do. The patient's right to know the facts of their condition, well, that right is stitched in the very fabric of medicine as it is practiced today in our societies. We expect to be told everything by our doctors, and in general, physicians ought to honor that expectation. As far as we're concerned, that is simply the right thing to do. But our reading of the halakha teaches us that in the sphere of medical ethics, autonomy need not give way to beneficence, but it must coexist, it must converse, and it must stand in creative tension with beneficence, the principle that physicians must act for the patient's benefit. The decision to override the patient's right to know, on the grounds that the information would harm the patient, must ultimately rest with the physician. That is not an easy call, but as Dr. Lamas intuits, it is, or should be, part of the physician's job. And at any rate, the halakha agrees with her. This has been the Freehoff Institute of Progressive Halakha, the 12-minute shiur number 6. Thanks for learning with us.